Sports.com studios. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Thursday, August 30th, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at some interesting developments over the last couple of days. What is happening to the Democrats? We thought that we'd seen everything, hadn't we? But the rampant radical socialism and identity politics is escalating to levels that, quite frankly, I'm surprised at how far this is going. So we're going to take a look at everybody that is so offended about what was said about the Democrat candidate. When you had the Republican candidate in Florida, the gubernatorial candidate, saying, we're not going to monkey around and mess up this economy with socialism. They said, that's racist. You can't use the M word. So now we got a new word, according to the speech police, so we can't use. Except they've used it. They've used it a lot. Everybody has. And seriously, talking about having a monkey wrench, monkeying around with something. Now that is off the table. We can't talk about that. What they're trying to do is they're trying to cover up their unpopular policies. And they're freaking out about this. We have an interesting clip from an MSNBC Katie Tour. And she is just freaking out. Wait till you see the expression on her face and the desperation. Hear the desperation in her voice. What are we doing? None of this stuff is working. Trump is still doing really well. I mean, we've shut down and deplatformed many people on the right. We don't allow the public to see things and share things on social media. And he's still doing really well. The Republicans are just as strong as they were 4 years ago. Trump hasn't hurt them. As a matter of fact, he seems to be helping them because look at the economy. And yet, when you look at what was said yesterday and what's being said about this gubernatorial race in Florida, and then there was a debate last night between Cynthia Nixon I don't know if I should call this Sex and the Cuomo or Socialist in the City. of course, they're both socialists. That's the problem. One of them hasn't come out of the closet yet. And as we talk about coming out of the closet, we have a trans Hispanic here in the politics in Texas. Yes, we have an Irishman, as I said the other day, Robert O'Rourke. That's a problem if you want to be a Democrat politician. You just can't do that. With Stephen Colbert is had this long interview with Rolling Stone magazine, just so upset that he is a straight white male. I hate myself. I just hate myself. F me, he says. F me, F me, F me. So we're going to have some suggestions as to how he could rename himself. Because, hey, it seems to be working for Beto O'Rourke. He doesn't even put his last name on any of the signs. Everywhere you look, you see Beto, Beto, Beto. He imagines himself as being Hispanic, so therefore he is. Even though there's a real Hispanic in the race, Ted Cruz is really Hispanic. But Beto puts his name out there. That's the only thing he puts. Every time I see it, I say to my wife, got to veto Beto. That's what we're both going to do when we go to the polls. We're going to veto Beto. But they don't want you to see that Soros and socialism and globalism is what's behind these people. Quite literally, what's behind these people. All of these candidates, whether you're talking about Beto O'Rourke or whether you are talking about Cynthia Nixon, especially Gillum, the gubernatorial candidate in Florida, the people that are funding this are the socialist wing, the global swing, Soros and other big billionaire Democrats. As Soros is about to invest heavily in social media. Imagine that. Imagine that. I guess he likes to invest in things as they're going down. There were rumors that he was going to be investing in Tesla. So I don't know. Maybe Soros has lost his golden touch. Or maybe he doesn't really care. Maybe he's just trying to burn everything down, including his fortune, by investing in Facebook, Twitter, and Tesla. Speaking of Tesla, we're going to have Eric Peters on with us later in the show. Stay with us. Be right back. I'm David Knight.
You found it. InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Thursday, August 30th, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at how the Democrat Party is turning so hard left that they're going to go off the rails. And we're going to take a look at what's going on in the Florida gubernatorial race, in the New York gubernatorial race, where we just had a first debate, maybe the only debate, and in the Texas Senate race between Ted Cruz and the trans-Hispanic Beto O'Rourke, the guy who, the Irishman who imagines himself as Hispanic, and the guy who doesn't want to debate. He challenged Ted Cruz to six debates. He says, and I want two of those to be in Spanish because, you know, he's been studying up on that. They also got pictures of him in a dress. So maybe he really is not just a trans-Hispanic. Maybe he's now a transsexual, too. I mean, what more could the Democrats ask for? He is the perfect icon, says the Washington Post, for the Democrat Party. So let's take a look at these three races. Let's begin with the one in Florida, because this got everybody so upset. We have a term used in terms of talking about socialism. Let's not monkey this up, said the Republican candidate. And everybody said, racist, racist. You know, they're running on the fact that you take a look at these three races, right? Florida, New York, and Texas that I just mentioned. It's about the candidates being female, in the case of Cynthia Nixon, all out there about her being a female. In Florida, it's all about race. The Democrat candidate is black. And then in Texas, even though the Republican is Hispanic, the Democrat Irishman claims supremacy in the Hispanic area. So it's all about being female, black, and Hispanic. But don't notice. If you notice this, then you are racist. Except they want you to notice it if you're going to vote for them or give them money. And so we have Cynthia Nixon saying, the room is too cold. And that's sexist. You always do that to women. You always do that to women. And then you have the candidate in Florida saying, when he said, let's not monkey around with this great economy. Let's not try socialism and a $1 billion tax increase. That's racist. You use the M word. And then Texas. And we will get to that. So it's the pretended victimhood. It's the minority identity. But all of this is just a mask for the socialism and the globalism of George Soros, because he's funding all this stuff. Big bucks from the billionaires in order to put through their globalism and their socialism. So as Politico says, race and socialism define the first day of the Florida campaign for governor. And let's talk about the socialism first, because that's really what they don't want to talk about. They're not going to win this on their socialism. Even the Democrat consultants understand that, that have been around for a while. And so they want to make this about race. But let's talk a little bit about the socialism, first of all. And let's start out with the candidate, Andrew Gillum, the Florida candidate. This guy was Tallahassee mayor. And he wants to talk about his plan for Florida. So let's let him talk about his plan for Florida, his socialist plan for Florida. Here's Andrew Gillum.
This state is going to be largely driven by the great big tax giveaways that Republicans have pursued nearly every legislative session that I can remember. We know that the fastest growing part of this state's budget is its health care costs. We also know that this governor failed to expand Medicaid.
Pause it. Okay, so he says the big budget deficit is going to be driven by tax giveaways from Republicans, because that's what they want. They want to reduce taxes. So that, as Bernie Sanders, this guy is supported by Bernie Sanders, right? As Bernie Sanders said when President Trump passed the tax cut, he said, they're looting the treasury. That's my money. I'm supposed to be able to pass that out to people for political favors, right? So this is what he's saying. The budget deficit is going to be because of tax cuts. It isn't going to be because of health care costs. He says the fastest growing part of the state's budget is health care costs. See, this is typical Democrat thinking. Spending doesn't create deficits. It is tax cuts that create deficits, because now you've taken away their money. It's not your money. You didn't work for it. It belongs to them because you're their slave. You're on their plantation. And so everything that you make first goes to them. And let me just interject before we go back to him. Think about health care, for example. I've said this all along. You're concerned about health care costs, right? What has the government ever done to help you pay for your health care costs or your education for that matter before you send the money to them? Nothing. Look at your income tax form, right? First of all, they take your adjusted gross income and they say, well, okay, list out your medical expenses that you had this year. Well, it's got to be above a, what is it, 7, 10%? Fortunately, we've had a lot of years with good health in our family, so I don't even remember what the number is. But I know that it's high enough that I've never qualified for it because we haven't had anybody seriously ill. But you have to be seriously, seriously ill before you can take that tax deduction, because it's got to be above a certain percentage before you do that. And then you take it as a deduction, not as a credit. So if you're in a 25% tax bracket, after they throw away what is 7 or 10% of your adjusted income of the expenses, and then whatever is left, you can take that as a deduction. But that means it's only going to save you 25% of the actual cost. So if you wind up with $10,000, you're only going to be able to actually save $2,500 by using that as a deduction. But that's after you throw away 7 to 10% of your adjusted gross income on your medical expenses. Why don't they let you pay for your health care first before you send it to Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and John McCain, and then they dole it back to you like kids on an allowance? Well, I don't think, we'll decide. We're going to give you kind of VA hospital type of health care. No. You let me spend it. You say it's important. I agree it's important. Let me spend money on my health care before I send it to the government. Let me take it as a tax credit, dollar for dollar. If I've got $10,000 worth of medical expenses, let me take that $10,000 off the taxes that I owe before I send it in. They won't do that. And that should tell you how concerned they are about your health care, that they won't let you spend the money on yourself before you send them the taxes. No, you send them the taxes first, and then we may give you some kind of health care help later on. Maybe. We'll see. We're pretty inefficient, but maybe you'll get some health care from us down the road. Same thing is true of education. Education is so important, and all these Democrats want to give everybody free college education. But let us pay for our education first before we send it in. Not going to do that. But let's go on with the rest of his genius socialist plan. This is Andrew Gillum saying, well, the problem is these Republicans, they want to cut taxes, so that's going to give us a deficit. But we got this big health care cost that's growing, and we got to do something about it. Here's what he proposes to do.
700,000 of the most medically needy people in this state, leaving $6 billion alone last year on the table, money that could have come from the federal government to help prop up that system. While here in the state of Florida, we have a nursing shortage. We can't find enough nurses to go into the field. And I think largely because we have failed to step up to that task. Listen,
that's enough. Let's go back and say, so he says, all right, we got to do something about Medicare. What is he going to do about Medicare? Well, he says, it's going to bankrupt us if we do that here. So he says, we're going to have a confederation of states. We couldn't do it by ourselves solely here in the state of Florida. We need the federal government to print money, like they do in Venezuela, because that's how they pay for all their free stuff down in Venezuela. That's really cool. Just run the printing presses. And then down the road, when we hit hyperinflation, we can start lopping off zeros off of the currency. Except that didn't work for Venezuela. Or you can add zeros to the paycheck. That was the other approach that Venezuela did. That's the thing we hear from the Democrats all the time. We got to fight for 15. Well, those people down there are fighting for food now. And they found that even though they raised the minimum wage by a factor of 60 times what it used to be, they still can't afford to eat anything because the economy is busted. Nothing works. Socialism has broken that economy just like it's broken Detroit, just like it's breaking California and everywhere else that it's been tried. And so he says, can you imagine? In this confederation of states, this is what Andrew Gillum, the socialist candidate for governor in Florida, says. Can you imagine? We could team up with the states in New York and California, maybe even Illinois, to provide free health care. Those are states that are drowning in red ink. They can't even pay for their state employee pension funds. They're drowning in unfunded pension plans for their state employees. We'll be right back. Democrats are in deep trouble. The only way that they can win is if they can rig the election. And I have said before, and I'm going to say it again, I think that all this talk about hacking the election is because they know how vulnerable the electronic voting machines are. They can be hacked at any number of points, especially at the central locations. Both the Democrats and the Republicans have this capability. Both the Democrats and Republicans refuse to do anything about real cybersecurity because they both want to have this ability. So what we're going to have when it comes to the election is this is going to be a massive hacker fest, just like the Black Hat Conference or DEF CON that we just had in Las Vegas, where they demonstrated that kids could do this. The winner of hacking the replicas of the state boards of election sites was an 11-year-old. And they did that with a bunch of kids from the age 5 to 17. They had 30-some-odd kids, and all but 3 or 4 of them were able to hack it. But the fastest one was 11 years old, and she got in there and changed the election for a Libertarian candidate so they would know that it was hacked. But they're leaving this system in. And you have to understand that, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, they want to pretend that the Russians are hacking the system, when in reality, most of the cybersecurity hacks that are being done by private criminals or by the state of China. China, they are the biggest threat. And we had Homeland Security was actually attempting to get into the state boards of election in Georgia and elsewhere. They actually tracked it back to Homeland Security. Remember when the Wall Street Journal reported that? Oh, you're supposed to forget that. Now it's all Russia, Russia, Russia. No, it was Homeland Security that was doing it, because they were trying to push their bureaucracy into taking over all the state boards of elections. It makes it so much easier to hack it if you have control of the computers and access to the computers, and they can't trace you back. Now, maybe the CIA has given the tools to disguise themselves to Homeland Security so they can do it as a foreign power. Or actually, they don't need it from the CIA. I forgot. The hackers broke into the CIA and they took all the Vault 7 tools. And first they put the owner's manuals out on the internet, and then they put the actual code out on the internet so the Homeland Security people can go out on the internet and get all that stuff themselves. They can make it look like they're Russians or Chinese or North Koreans or Venezuelans or whatever. Actually, it's Venezuela where all the electronic voting machines began. Smartmatic began in Venezuela so they could rig the elections for Hugo Chavez. Of course, that company was then brought into the United States, in many cases by Republicans, because they want to be able to hack the elections. But they're in trouble unless they can hack the elections that way, because all they've got to run on is socialism, and it isn't selling, even with the billions of dollars coming from George Soros and all these deep pocket Democrats. You know, we've always said, everybody says, yeah, the Republican Party, it's the party of the really rich. And there are some really rich people that contribute to both of these parties. But the vast majority of the wealthy are Democrats. Haven't you noticed that? In New York, Chicago, LA, and it's not just the entertainment business. It's a really big business. They're always Democrats. You know, like the people that own Google and Facebook and Twitter, all those companies, they're Democrats. The wealthy are Democrats for the most part. The really, really wealthy, the filthy rich are the Democrats. And so you've got this candidate. He was funded by George Soros in Florida, Andrew Gillum, and he is a full-on Bernie Sanders socialist. And he said, you know, the only way we're going to do this, because it's going to bankrupt Florida, because those doggone Republicans are cutting taxes. So first of all, we've got to raise taxes. And then we can team up with New York, California, and Illinois, because, you know, those people are drowning already in unfunded state pensions. Each of those three states that I mentioned, that he mentioned, have unfunded pension liabilities for their state employees that are anywhere from $400 to $600 billion. Think about that. How are they going to pay that? They can't print money. Oh, so we'll do it with the federal government. And he says, hey, this state here left $6 billion from the federal government on the table last year. I don't know that that's true or not, but people in Florida pay taxes to the federal government too. And if you don't pay the taxes, you're going to go the way of Venezuela. You can't just print money. Newsflash to Democrats. You can't just print money. A lot of Democrats already understand this. Some of them are political analysts. Some of them are grassroots people. Politico had a story about 2 weeks ago, why Medicare for All is playing poorly in Democrat primaries. Said that most of the prominent Democrats who are looking at running for president in 2020, People like Kirsten Gillibrand in New York, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, who now says in the interim, she's now said that she's not running. Good. Don't run. Anyway, championed the idea of Medicare for all, suggesting that it's become a litmus test for the Democrat Party's base. But a veteran Democrat pollster, John Anzalone, or Anzalone, I don't know this guy. But anyway, he is a veteran Democrat pollster cited by Politico. And he said, the problem is that Medicare for all just isn't one of those litmus tests for Democratic primary voters. He said, voters are smart enough to know that Medicare for all isn't going to happen right now, or maybe ever. Only 16% of Democrats identified support for national health care plan as the number one issue in determining their vote. There you go. Nevertheless, you've got people like Gavin Newsom out in California. This is a guy who was mayor of San Francisco at some point in time. Now he is saying that in spite of it's over 500, it's close to $600 billion, I think, in unfunded pension liabilities for state employees in California. But he wants to become governor of California, and he thinks that they can have universal health care for everybody in California, including foreign citizens here illegally, illegal immigrants. We can do it, he said. He was on a podcast, Pod Save America. We have John Favreau and John Lovett. He said he was very proud of creating the nation's only universal health care plan for illegal immigrants when he was mayor of San Francisco. He said, let's talk about something, John Favreau says, let's talk about something very costly, single-payer health care. You've been very supportive over the course of the campaign. He goes, yeah. You've been very expressed in the past support for this Senate bill, single-payer health care in California. And Newsom goes down later on in the interview, says the only way in a state whose population is larger than 163 nations, California, whose economy is larger than all four nations, fifth largest economy, to approximate a strategy for health care, universal health care with the support and concurrence of the government. That's the only way that we can do it, he says. We've got to have it with the governor. And he says, I plan to finance and organize 34 prescribed benefits, a universal strategy for single-payer financing, fully implemented, regardless of pre-existing conditions, regardless of the ability to pay, and regardless of your immigration status. He said, San Francisco, we did it, San Francisco. Well, you know, when you look at San Francisco, there's a couple of articles that have come out in the last few days. Everybody's talking about the price of housing in San Francisco. Why is the price of housing so high in San Francisco? It wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that they allow illegal immigrants to come into San Francisco and vote on how much money is going to be spent on schools, would it? Because what is the biggest line item on your property tax anywhere you live? What is that? Oh, that's right. It's property taxes. And so you let people who are foreign citizens come in and tell you how much they demand a free education. Then they tell you how much you're going to spend on it. And the result of that is you can't afford to live in San Francisco. You can't even afford child care in San Francisco. But he says, oh, we made it work for universal health care in San Francisco. That's why nobody can afford to live there. And now they're trying even more statist solutions to try to get around the obvious economic deficits that they have there. We'll be right back.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Let's talk about how the gubernatorial candidate in Florida wants to monkey around with socialism. That's what the phrase that got everybody so excited. Andrew Gillum went on CNN, talked to John Berman, and laid out some of the things that he wants to do. He wants to abolish ICE. He wants to have Medicare for all. But, you know, let's not talk about the policies when the Republican candidate says he wants to give us a $1 billion tax increase to pay for all this stuff. And he's a full-on socialist. Let's not mess this up. Let's not monkey around with this. Oh, you're a racist for saying the M word now. Now, that is off limits, according to the politically correct speech police. I'm sorry. I'm not going to play that game. So this is how he wants to monkey around with the economy in Florida. This is Andrew Gillum on CNN with John Berman.
The question is, will it work in a general election? And they're coming for you. They're already coming for you based on your message. Ron DeSantis, the Republican nominee, had a statement last night about you, Andrew Gillum. He says you want to abolish ICE. You do, correct?
We want to replace ICE with the Department of Justice, an entity that has not been tarnished in the same way as ICE has.
He says you want to abolish ICE. You say you want to replace it. That's basically the same thing. He says you want $1 billion tax increase.
Let Peter Strzok run
he
it.
Says you want single payer health care system as Florida. You do want Medicare for all, correct?
I am a champion for treating health care as a right and not a privilege. That's absolutely right. And expanding Medicaid in the state of Florida for over 700,000 people who right now don't have access to
health care. All right, let's hold it right there. Let's hold it right there because I think it's very telling when he says, all right, so you want to abolish it? Well, we just want to replace it with Department of Justice because they got a stellar reputation. You know, Peter Strzok and Mueller, Comey, all those guys. Yeah, those are the guys we want to have running anything because they're just so trustworthy. But he says, well, all right, well, it's not really much of a difference. You know, you're still going to have that same function, right? No, really, they want to get rid of the borders. They want to get rid of the borders. That's why they want to get rid of ICE. They just don't want to say they want to abolish the borders. But that's really what the Democrats want to do. They're going to get there. They have come out occasionally and said, we want to abolish the borders. Get very close to it. You know, Nancy Pelosi said, it's not two countries. You know, it's just one community with this border running through it. You know, it's kind of like the border between Texas and Oklahoma. Let's not make a big deal out of that border. You know, we just put a welcome to California sign there and leave it at that. Then he goes on and says, all right, well, what about whatever he says? But he says, you want to abolish ICE, that you want to replace it? Fine. He says basically the same thing. But he says you want $1 billion tax increase. And he says you want a single-payer health care system in Florida. Do you want Medicare for all, right? And he comes back and he says he doesn't deny that he wants $1 billion tax increase. He really doesn't. Pretty amazing when you stop and think about that. You know, Florida is one of those states that they just had the rating. You saw that on the Drudge Report, the 50 states. Florida was rated overall number one in freedom. One of the reasons for that is taxes. They do have high property taxes, not as high as they are here in Texas, but they have property taxes. They don't have a state income tax. So if you're going to have $1 billion tax increase, what are you going to do? You're going to give people in Florida an income tax for the first time? that's going to be a non-starter. A lot of people retire to Florida because they don't want that income tax. So you're going to start talking about raising taxes on retirees in Florida, $1 billion tax increase in Florida? I don't think that's going to work too well. And then there's the other issue that comes along with Andrew Gillum, and that is his tenure as mayor of Tallahassee. As Breitbart points out, FBI corruption investigation plagued the Tallahassee during Andrew Gillum's mayorship. For nearly 4 years, he has been at the helm of Tallahassee's city government. But it hasn't been all smooth sailing, they say. Of all the struggles he's had encountered as mayor, none has loomed larger in the eyes of Tallahasseans than the FBI's corruption investigation that has several Tallahassee officials caught up in its net, including Gillum. He has denied involvement and even put out a statement insisting that the FBI told him he wasn't the focus of the investigation. Well, wait, he's not the focus of the investigation? I didn't think that worked for President Trump. Democrats didn't care. I'm not the focus on the investigation. No, you are. You're caught up in all this. But I guess maybe it works if you're a Florida Democrat mayor. It works. And what they're investigating is cronyism and corruption in the Tallahassee Community Redevelopment Agency, because that's where the corruption is. It's in the taking over property and giving people permits and so forth at the local level. At the local level, it's all about the real estate agents. Anyway, goes, it appears that these guys around me, it's just people around me. You know, it's kind of like John McCain. It's Keating 5. He was just mixing with bad company, you know, throwing those people under the bus. It's Keating 5 or the Gang of Eight. What? Who cares? He's a hero. But Gillum says, it was just those guys that were here for an investigation. The only way they got to me was by leveraging my friendship with Adam. And then a Democrat senior writer, Jeff Berlew. Listen to what this Democrat senior writer said. He said, since the arrival of the FBI subpoenas last summer, nowhere has the dark cloud been more forbidding than over City Hall. It has brought dysfunction to the city commission, thrown monkey wrenches into the political plans of state, local. Is this guy a racist? He just said that this corruption investigation, that Andrew Gillum is at the center of, this Democrat senior writer for Tallahassee paper, said that this corruption investigation that the Florida gubernatorial candidate, Andrew Gillum, is at the center of, has thrown a monkey wrench into the political plans of state and local candidates. shaking the public's confidence in their local government. How could he dare use the M word talking about this candidate, Andrew Gillum? Who's going to call him out on this? Who's going to call him out on this overt racism for saying that the corruption surrounding Andrew Gillum has thrown a monkey wrench in the political plans of state and local government? The other thing I find interesting, as I said, we have to be concerned about whether or not these elections are going to be hacked, not by Russians, but by some Hungarian communist who likes socialism and globalism and open borders like George Soros. Polls leading up to the election on Tuesday had Gillum running in fourth place. Could somebody be monkeying with the election machines? I don't know. Anyway, so you don't want to talk about Medicare for All because, as I said in the last segment, that's kind of a non-starter even for the Democrats. Only 16% of them think that's a key issue. Nobody thinks it's going to work, including the Democrats. But the establishment, the people who are trying to take over the establishment of the Democrat Party, all these people trying to run for president in 2020, they said, let's become Bernie Sanders. And so they're all embracing it, even though the Democrat rank and file don't think it's important, don't think that it'll work. So you could talk about Medicare for All. Nah, let's not talk about the $1 billion tax increase for people in Florida, a $1 billion tax increase for the retirees in Florida. Let's not talk about that. Let's see. Let's not talk about the crony corruption that threw a monkey wrench into local government there that was being run by Andrew Gillum. Let's talk about racism. That's what we get. It's race card time. And so Gillum says, Florida voters are looking for a unifier, not racists and bigots. Why would he say that? Well, let's play the clip, video clip number two. This is Ron DeSantis coming back and saying, after this guy who was in fourth place, but supported by George Soros and other billionaires, after he becomes the surprise winner, pushing all of these hardcore socialist programs, this is what Ron DeSantis, who is the guy that President Trump backed. So you got a guy that's backed by President Trump versus a guy that is backed by George Soros. Interesting choice in Florida. And this is what DeSantis said as he was speaking after the election.
Work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida.
Ooh, how racist can you get? He used the M-word. And then we have to underscore this. They bring out the former Republican National Committee chair, Michael Steele. Now, Michael Steele is not a conservative. He's not even a moderate. But he is black. And I saw Michael Steele at the DNC conference. He had an entourage of adoration following him everywhere that he went at the DNC when I was reporting there. Could not believe what a star he was. And we're going to show you why he is so beloved by the establishment and by Democrats when we come back. Because he doubled down on this for the hill and tried to make a mountain out of this molehill of monkey business. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Take a look at this M-word business that everybody is making such a big deal out of here. You know, we got a Catholic cardinal who's pushing back on these allegations against Pope Francis. And of course, it was an 11-page statement by Archbishop Carlo Vigano. And he talked about his conversations with the Pope. He said, I warned him about this. I said, we've got a dossier this thick on McCarrick, you got to do something about this guy. Told him at the very beginning. And of course, the Pope in an interview had said to a reporter, he said, I don't think the pedophile thing is such a big a deal. You know, it's only about 2% of the priests, which is only about 8,000. And now as this stuff is really exploding and we're seeing the institutionalized corruption within the Catholic Church, this guy who is the Archbishop of Chicago comes back and it says these allegations are against the Pope simply because he is a Latino. It's racism. Racism. He says, quite frankly, they don't like him because he's a Latino. So you always misdirect. Never address the central issue. And of course, as Breitbart points out, Archbishop Vigano, who authored that 11-page report, talking about how the Pope has known about this for years. Everybody knew about it in the Catholic Church before this Pope came in. He took it to that Pope and said, do something about this. The Pope did nothing about it. And so this guy who wrote the report, Archbishop Vigano, who's also called for the Pope's resignation because of this, comes from the north of Italy, not far from where the Pope's family is from, because the Pope isn't Latino. As a matter of fact, he may not even be Catholic. Is the Pope Catholic? That's not a rhetorical question anymore when you see what's going on in the church. Others are quick to point out that Pope Francis is actually not a Latino, but a white European who was born in Argentina. But this Archbishop of Chicago was undeterred in this. He said, they're coming after him because he's a Latino. And then he said this. Listen to this. This is really chilling. This Archbishop of Chicago says the Pope has a bigger agenda. He's got to get on with other things, like talking about the environment and protecting immigrants and then carrying on the work of the church. Yeah. In other words, collecting money, which McCarrick was so good at. So you can't be bothered by things like the rape of children by predator priests or the institutionalized cover-up of those rapes. Can't be bothered with that. We got to get on the big issues like climate change and open borders. You know, the stuff that George Soros pushes. So that's really the issue. And what we're looking at here with this phony storm about monkey business in Florida is another example of that. Let's not talk about socialism. Let's not talk about the Medicare for all, because that's, you know, that's something he's got to say out here for George Soros. But it's not going to win with the Democrats. Let's not talk about the corruption that was there in Tallahassee. Let's talk about racism. We found something here that we can identify as racism, we think. And Michael Steele is doubling down on this. I'm going to play for you again what DeSantis said in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because if you want to keep us on air, that's the way that you can do it. Support your health, support this program, support free speech. And we've got some sales. We have bodies. We have now got enough of it to put it on sale. It's a while we've have had very low stock on it. We have it discounted at 50%, and we call it Bod Ease because it eases your body. Turmeric, the key ingredient there, is very effective at eliminating inflammation that causes joint pain and other conditions throughout your body. And now bodies you can get for 50% off. And we have a special just for our listeners here, Real News with David Knight. It's the Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just use the code Real News to get 20% off of Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee in either the original or the immune support blend. It's non-GMO, 100% Arabica bean, and you can save 20% at checkout with the code REALNEWS at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's play the clip again, the offending clip that they're now going to use to try to paint DeSantis, the Republican candidate, as a racist. Here's what he had to say as he was attacking socialism, saying, let's not monkey up the economy with these socialist policies and a $1 billion tax increase. Here's DeSantis.
Work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida.
Again, they're now using that and saying, well, that was a reference to the black candidate that was there. Even though, as I pointed out, we had the Democrat senior writer of the Tallahassee paper there saying that this corruption that was centered around City Hall while Gillum was mayor there had thrown a monkey wrench into that. But nobody is calling him racist. But you got the reliable leftist candidate there. He's not a candidate. I don't know if he ever ran for it. I think he was elected to office at one point in time, Michael Steele. But this is a guy who got his position in the RNC because he is an establishment guy, equally comfortable with the Democrats, maybe even more so with the Democrats, as it appeared to me when I saw him at the DNC convention, nominating convention that went for Hillary Clinton. He was dearly loved there. And he goes on to MSNBC and says, this is how white folks talk about black men who are successful. Seriously? You're going to use this as a term of offense, Michael Steele? How pathetic. This guy is like a John McCain character. He said, I heard he said he's articulate and that he performs well. Why do you have to describe him that way? See, even if you compliment a black candidate who is out there running on his identity of being black, if you compliment him and say he's articulate, then that is a racist comment, says Michael Steele. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then Fox News, Sandra Smith says, we do not condone this language. That's Fox, spelled F-A-U-X, faux news. Fox is monkeying around in this for Soros, for the socialist. Fox is monkeying around with our language, trying to impose new speech rules on us. Everybody uses this. Let's go back to Barack Obama. Back in 2008, Barack Obama used the M word. Here's Barack Obama.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. Whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction. That's why we've got to have
Well, let's hold it right there, because you heard the key money clip there. Monkeying around with the elections. But I guess it's okay. He can use the M word because he's black, right? Is that the rule now? I have to check with my Fox News reporter, Sandra Smith. Sandra, is it okay if Obama uses the monkey word, but then Ron DeSantis can't say we're monkeying around? It's okay if a Democrat says that this corruption in Tallahassee threw a monkey wrench into local politics, but Ron DeSantis can't say that word. Is that the new rule now, Sandra Smith at Fox News? Is that how this works now? I need to know what these rules are, because I don't want to be taken off of YouTube. Oh, wait a minute. They already did that, and I don't care. Don't care. Don't care. I'm not going to play these political speech games. That is cultural Marxism. It is a Marxist tactic to censor people and to use this race card. And let me give you another example of this. We've got a Massachusetts Democrat is now calling for Clarence Thomas to be impeached. And she's not monkeying around. But they're still monkeying around with Clarence Thomas. This is a Massachusetts Democrat who added a plank to her campaign platform. Impeach Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. They can't stand a real conservative who is black. They must destroy Clarence Thomas. This guy has the best voting record on the Supreme Court, and they must destroy him. Must destroy him. Here we are, 20, 25 years later. They got to come after him. She says there's an elephant in the room for Congress in the Me Too era. Our leaders have started talking about it. Two of the most powerful men in the country have been credibly accused of sexual crimes and gotten away with it. I'm thinking, two? Wait a minute. You're talking about impeaching Clarence Thomas? Who is the other guy? Is it Bill Clinton? Because remember what happened? We had Anita Hill, and he said, she said, nobody else witnessed this. She said he made some improper remarks to me. I mean, it was nothing like what we're talking about Harvey Weinstein, the guy who was joined at the hip with Hillary Clinton, had given her so much money, and all these other Democrat candidates. It wasn't that kind of violent approach. Wasn't the kind of stuff that Bill Clinton did. But you had Anita Hill, within just a couple of years, after coming after Clarence Thomas, defended Bill Clinton. So did Gloria Steinem. Anita Hill defended Bill Clinton, and so did Hillary Clinton, as they were calling these victims of his violent sexual assaults and rapes, calling them bimbos. Anita Hill defended him. And now they're still coming after Clarence Thomas.
Of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. As I said, they're still coming after Clarence Thomas because it's not allowed. You don't get any brownie points for race or for anything else if you're conservative. No, they come after you more. Because Clarence Thomas is black. That's one thing they can't allow, is for people to see that black people can make up their own mind as to what they want to do with policies. They want to cover up the agenda, the socialist agenda, by putting this identity politics over it. And then you got Michael Steele, how reprehensible, former RNC chairman, saying about Stefanos, what is his name? DeStefano, or whatever, the guy in Florida. I got a blank here. Anyway, saying that he is coming after DeSantis. That was it. Coming after DeSantis. And saying that he is a racist because he said that the other candidate is articulate. But he's a socialist. Doesn't matter if he's articulate. Just makes it more dangerous if he's a socialist. That's why George Soros and Tom Steyer have been spinning big for the socialist winner. The two of them gave $650,000 into Gillum's campaign. And this is what Gillum had to say. He wasn't offended when they noticed that he was black because they gave him money. He says, I interpret it to mean that it was significant to see a person of color taken seriously in a statewide race. So give him money because he's black and that's okay. But if you say that we're not going to monkey around with socialism, that's racist. If you say he's articulate, that's racist. And so Steyer and Soros gave him $650,000. Other liberal groups gave him $3.5 million. And so this guy who was polling in fourth place pulls it out at the last minute. Maybe they gave him some help in the ballot box, too. I don't know. But this is what he is supporting. Universal health care, $15 an hour minimum wage, abolishing ICE, repealing Florida's Stand Your Ground gun defense laws. And he wants to put a stiff tax on the wealthy. And also, let's tackle global warming. He's demanding that Trump be impeached. And, of course, Trump is wrongheaded and racist and sexist. Of course he would be, because this is one of the identity politics candidates. So we're going to take a look at another identity politics candidate coming up in the next this next hour. We're going to look at the debate that happened between Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo. It's hard to it's hard to take Andrew Cuomo's side, and I'm not going to take his side. I mean, he didn't have anything good to say. The two of them got into a contest about who could fight President Trump more. It's not like New York's got any issues that need to be solved, except for President Trump. President Trump is what's wrong with New York, not Andrew Cuomo. And Cynthia Nixon has a solution because she's going to be tougher on President Trump than Andrew Cuomo is. That's just what this is breaking down to. But we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the race here in Texas between the trans-Hispanic and the real Hispanic. Ted Cruz. That's going to be coming up. But before we finish with this, I just want to talk about the insanity of racism that we have here in the schools. For example, a middle school in Ohio gives students a list of 12 imaginary people, various genders, races, religions, sexual orientations, then gives them a scenario that says out of these 12, only 8 can fit on board a spacecraft and escape a doomed Earth. So you rank these people and see which ones you're going to keep. Based on these different qualifications. Let me read these lists off to you. One of them is an accountant with a substance abuse problem. Another one is a militant African-American, but he's a medical student. Another one is a 33-year-old female Native American manager who doesn't speak English. Doesn't speak English? Is she? I don't know any Native Americans that don't speak English. Anyway, she speaks Navajo or something. She's a code talker. Accountant's pregnant wife, a famous novelist with physical disability, a 21-year-old female Muslim international student, a Hispanic clergyman who's against homosexuality. Ooh, that's conflicting identity groups. My head hurts. I don't know what to do with that. Another one, a racist armed police officer who's been accused of using excessive force. Well, he obviously gets left behind on this test. Parents are saying, what are we being taught? You know what? They do this in every movie with Hollywood, don't they?
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. The last segment, I was talking about this test that was given to students in middle school, where they put out all these different genders, races, religions, and so forth, sexual orientation, and say, here's a group of people. This is what they do for a living, and then this is their identity politics. What are you going to do with these people if the Earth is exploding and you got a spaceship that can take 8 people, but there's 12 of these people? Who are you going to leave behind? And as I said, you know, we got people like a female movie star who was recently the victim of a sexual assault, a racist armed police officer who's been accused of using excessive force. And this was the one that's really tough. This really stumped the students. A Hispanic clergyman who's against homosexuality. Ooh, do I put him on board? Because, you know, he is Hispanic, but then at the same time, he's a Christian and he doesn't like gay marriage. Oh, I don't know what to do about this. This is really a homosexual male professional athlete, an Asian orphaned 12-year-old boy, a 60-year-old Jewish university administrator. As I point out, Hollywood does this all the time. Every movie you see, they set up these stereotypes. And it's interesting to see how they make heroes and villains out of people based on their identity, isn't it? And it's also interesting to see over the years how that changes. You know, how the heroes become villains and the villains become heroes. But this is what schools are doing. This is why these political candidates like Andrew Gillum in Florida, the ones who are supported by George Soros, the ones who are going off and taking the Democrat Party to the left fringe. As I said the other day, if we've got to have two political parties, maybe one of them shouldn't be the Democrats. Maybe we should get somebody that's a little bit more mainstream, like libertarians. We actually talk about issues instead of identity politics. Except, I don't know. I mean, we got Gary Johnson. He seems to be into this stuff. I don't know. But anyway, it's because the schools are pushing this, and so is Soros, and so is Hollywood. Here's another example. Jeffrey Toobin, who was on CNN. Let's play video clip number 10, because he says that criticizing Antifa is racist. Antifa. All these communist white liberals that's so guilty about being white. But of course, you criticize them, that's racist. Here's Jeffrey Toobin.
The theme here is, I'm Donald Trump and I'll protect you from the scary black people. Antifa is widely perceived as an African-American organization. And this is just part of the same story of LeBron James and Don Lemon and Maxine Waters and the NFL players and the UCLA basketball players. Ooh. This is about black versus white. This is about Donald Trump's appeal to racism, and it just happens all the time, and we never say it, or we don't say it enough for what it is, but that's what's going on.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, Jeffrey Toobin doesn't know Antifa from BLM, does he? but they do have a commonality of being run by the same communists and socialists. But the Antifa people are largely white communist liberals. People like Stephen Colbert, who just did an interview with Rolling Stone magazine. Says, I'm feeling good about being a white male. And that gives me a dark feeling. A dark feeling. He talks about the guilt that he feels of being a privileged white male in America. And he goes on to say, why am I, Stephen Colbert, a white male, straight Christian, American, a hegemonic figure? In my life, I don't just mean in my character. I'm really that guy. I'm really upset about this. He says, I'm like, yeah, F me. Me, white male Christian, American straight, number one. That's a dark feeling because it's indulging in an appetite for yourself. It's very possessive. It's very consumptive. It's very pornographic. It's pornographic. And so a confession is, yes, I have those feelings as well. But the question is, why are those feelings indulged in America? Somebody get those pills out of his hand. make sure that he is not allowed to buy a gun. This guy is in deep trouble, Stephen Colbert. So I've got some advice for him. And I learned this from watching the Senate race here in Texas. Stephen Colbert, I have help for you. What you need to do is what the Irishman here in Texas who's running for Senate did. He's very guilty about his being an Irishman. He's just too white. And he wants to get elected in an area that's predominantly Hispanic. So he invented a new name for himself, a nickname, Beto. Because, you know, he kind of imagined himself, even though his name is Robert O'Rourke, and his parents are Irish, both of them. And he married a white woman. If you want to say white, Hispanic is not white or whatever, I still have a problem with that. I don't think of Hispanic people as being anything other than white people. But anyway, nevertheless, why are we making all these distinctions about skin color anyway? We're going to start making distinctions about hair color. Maybe he's got, because he's Irish, maybe he's got red hair, but I don't think he's got red hair. Anyway, you know, that would be an extra problem, I guess, if, you know, we start segregating people by eye color and hair color like we do skin color, because DNA-wise, there's not really any difference. Nevertheless, as he had this problem, he came up with the idea. He goes, well, you know, for Spanish people, Roberto. I could be Roberto. And then the nickname for that is Beto, you know. So it's kind of like Spanish for Bob or something. So, Stephen Colbert, I looked this up for you so we could get your Spanish equivalent. You know, like if you're Charles or Charlie in America, just call yourself Carlos. Or if you're Doug, you could be Diego. Or Edward, you could be Eduardo. George, you can become Jorge. Now, for Stephen Colbert, the appropriate Hispanic term is Esteban. Esteban. So he could rename his program. And, you know, he had the old program. It was the Colbert Report. Just call it the Esteban Report. That's what Beto does. Everywhere you see his sign up, this guy, his name was never Beto. He invented that name, but that is now his, like, his legal name or something. It's up on all of his campaign signs. That's the only thing. You don't see O'Rourke. It's just Beto. So just make this the Esteban Report. Or you could say instead of the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, it could be the Late Show with Esteban. Wasn't that cool? Because, you know, Colbert, it could be Esteban Colbert. That's got a kind of a ring to it. But French just is not politically correct like Hispanic is. So drop that French Colbert right now. Get rid of the Colbert. I know that you hate yourself. You're a white male American with a French name, and you got to get rid of that. So just call yourself Esteban. That'd be even more ethnic. That's exactly what you need to do. Now, I, on the other hand, am out of luck. Because when I looked this up, the Spanish for David is David. I got nowhere to go. I could change the way that I pronounce it. I had my Spanish friends when I was in a band back in Tampa. I had a lot of Cuban friends in the band, and they all called me as a joke. They called me David. So I guess I could just change the way that I pronounce it. I could call myself the Real News with David and just leave the night off. You know, just call it the David Show. But now you got Beto, who wants to debate Ted Cruz. This guy had demanded back in May, on May Day, the socialist was feeling his oats. You know, communist, socialist, May Day. He said, I want to debate Ted Cruz 6 times, and I want to do it twice in Spanish. And now the guy who identifies as being Hispanic, the trans-Hispanic candidate, is in a panic. The trans-Hispanic panic. And he was supposed to have the first debate that they had scheduled tomorrow night in Dallas. And he's backed out. Maybe in the last few months, he started thinking about how he's going to defend these policies of universal Medicaid for all, and how he's going to defend the policies of shutting down ICE and abolishing the borders and on and on and on. How is he going to defend that against Ted Cruz? I don't know. You know, I've got problems with Ted Cruz when he ran for president. I never believed that he qualified as a natural-born citizen, born in Canada and so forth. Anyway, I think you have to have two American parents and so forth as a natural-born citizen. So I didn't think he was qualified even to run, according to the Constitution. And then I had a big problem with what he did trying to take away the election, the nomination from Trump at the convention. That's why they brought Paul Manafort in. But on issues, Beto is a Soros socialist and globalist. Imagine if we had Rachel DeLisle. Remember her? Remember the white woman who said she identifies as being black? I mean, she even changed her name. She gave herself a name that sounded kind of like an African name or something, or a name that somebody would change their name to if they were African-American, trying to get rid of their American roots, because she wanted to get rid of her American roots. Her name was Rachel DeLisle. She altered her appearance. She told everybody she was black. Turned out she was white. But she imagined that she was, there she is right there, trying to... you know, the trans black candidate. Imagine if Rachel DeLisle was running for office and she put her phony African-American made-up name that she'd come up with as the only name that was on the poster. And she was saying, you know, you want to elect me as the first black candidate for office. She actually got elected to the head of a local chapter NAACP before people found out that she was really white. Well, that's essentially what Beto O'Rourke is doing. This guy, the trans Hispanic, who is now panicking over the debates. He wanted six debates with Ted Cruz, and now he's canceled on the one coming up tomorrow night. You know, it's usually the incumbent that doesn't want to debate, that puts all kinds of preconditions or doesn't show up or whatever. But in this particular case, it's this guy who, back on May Day, was all eager to debate. They had agreed on five debates and where they were going to take place. Ted Cruz even agreed to hold one of them in the hometown of Robert O'Rourke, which is El Paso. And maybe that one will happen, but he chickened out on the one coming up tomorrow night. So the Texas GOP is having a lot of fun with him because he's also got other issues besides the fact that he's passing for Hispanic. He also had a DUI arrest in his past, and he was also arrested for burglary. But it's not a problem because his dad was a politically connected Democrat judge. And, you know, when that kind of stuff happens, it's not a big deal. You just go on. Kind of like Joe Biden's niece, gets arrested multiple times for shoplifting and all these other things. Things that you and I would go to jail for, but these people just get a pass and go on. Just like the people in the Bush family. It's not simply a Democrat thing. It's an establishment politician thing. So he has a couple of arrests in his background, a DUI. He's got a burglary arrest, and they put up his mugshot from the DUI and says there's always a chance that Robert Beto O'Rourke won't debate Senator Cruz because he's gotten into a kind of hazy situation. And then they put up a picture of him in the punk rock band that he used to be in. And they have a little sign on it. See if you can find that and put that up. Sorry, I can't debate. We have a gig. And in that picture, there he is right there. He's wearing a dress, a house dress. So I look at this and it's like, maybe this guy isn't just a trans Hispanic. Maybe he's a full-on transsexual. That would click all the boxes for the Democrats, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, and that's what it did for the Washington Post. They love this guy. Beto O'Rourke, says the Washington Post. Rock star status is cemented by the Texas GOP, handing the Democrats an icon that they desperately need. A guy, a white Irishman, trying to pass for an Hispanic and wearing a dress. That's exactly what they need. This is the state of the Democrat Party now. This is how insane they have become. And the only reason that they have a chance is because you've turned your children over to the government education system and they've been brainwashing them for a couple of generations. That's why this kind of stuff is happening. That's why they have a chance. That's why they're dangerous. Because we have allowed these people with this agenda to educate our children. Shame on us for doing that. And now we are reaping the whirlwind from that neglect of our children and our children's education. So you got this Democrat candidate, Beto O'Rourke. He also warmed his way into the hearts of the left as he embraced the protests, the national anthem. He said nothing was more American, and that was something. I flipped on the radio the other day, heard NPR. So I popped through the channel, see what everybody's talking about. And they were just ecstatic about the fact that Beto O'Rourke said nothing is more American than disrespecting our police, soldiers, and country. Nothing is more American than that. We hate all those people. We hate the police. We hate the country. We hate the flag. We hate all that stuff. That's at least the Democrats do, right? And so they love that. Lance Armstrong is now endorsing Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke. It's like, what drugs is he on? The guy, I don't know, since he got busted for his drugs that he was taking while he was competing in bicycle races. But of course, you know, being a bicycle racer is really cool around Austin. Just can't be any cooler than riding a bicycle in this leftist town. So maybe that's going to help him in Austin, but he's always going to carry that anyway. And he is also pushing Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke, is pushing to decentralize illegally crossing the border, to decriminalize, I should say. He'll decentralize it as well. They're going to bus these people everywhere. They've got They have decentralized it. MS-13, which used to be a problem just for the California area, they have now decentralized that into Long Island, where my wife grew up on Long Island. It's basically MS-13 country now. And it's amazing the atrocities that are being committed. And, of course, those evil people at ICE aren't really doing anything about this. You know, because all these guys are doing, they're just here illegally. Can't do anything about that, right? And then they've got MS-13 tattooed all over their face. Well, can't do anything about that. We got to catch them red-handed hacking a fellow Hispanic into pieces with a machete until we can do something about it. Can't do anything about it till that happens. One of those people that was hacked to death by MS-13, fellow dreamers in one of the schools because they got into a dispute over boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. So they just hacked the person to death. The father said, we left El Salvador to try to escape these people. And now here they are, and they've hacked my child to death over a love affair dispute. Because if you don't have borders, then you can't keep the criminals out either. If this guy can come right across the border, then so can the people that he's trying to escape come right across the border and kill his child on Long Island. And then endanger everybody else's children on Long Island as well. That's what this ultimately goes to. So Robert O'Rourke, running against a real Hispanic, Ted Cruz, for U.S. Senate, declared that illegal entry should not be a criminal matter. He said, these asylum seekers, penniless and at wit's end, after surviving 3 weeks on the road, very often with their children, then attempt to do what I think any human would do, which is request asylum in between the ports of entry. We should not criminalize that. Now, Breitbart points out that what Robert O'Rourke failed to mention is that entering the United States via ports of entry and requesting asylum is not a crime. It's not. You can request asylum. There's a process for doing that. As I talked to the former president of the Border Patrol, he said they pass all these different, there's about a dozen different U.S. Stations in Mexico where they can apply for asylum. They choose not to do that. They choose not to come into a port of entry where they can get asylum. Instead, they sneak into the United States between ports of entry. They don't ask for permission. That is a criminal act. But we have a lot of Democrats running for office in Texas that want to get rid of the border and all border laws.
From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I've been talking about the race here in Texas. Talked about the race in Florida. We're going to talk about what's going on in New York. But we look at what's happening in both the gubernatorial race, Senate race here in Texas and the gubernatorial race in Florida. Even though identity politics is at the forefront of all three of these races we're talking about here and the one in New York, what is behind all of this is George Soros and globalism and socialism that's being pushed by these people. And so they're embracing these socialist policies, but especially the globalist policies of open borders. Robert O'Rourke, who goes by the name Beto, even though he has absolutely no Hispanic connection whatsoever and refuses to debate Ted Cruz on the issues, is out there supporting open immigration, no abolishing ICE, abolishing our borders, and so forth, just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is also getting a lot of Soros money, both of them getting a lot of Soros money. Same thing with Andrew Gillum, the Democrat winner and the gubernatorial candidate contest that's shaping up in Florida. He's also been supported heavily by George Soros and others. Also the same place, open borders, immigration, open immigration, full-on socialism. And we have to look at how this is playing out. You know, we got John McCain, as everybody is singing his praise. Why are they singing his praises now to such a degree? Well, because he was a open border globalist, the Gang of Eight, and so forth. As a matter of fact, we've got talk of Brussels naming a building after McCain. as you've got Google renaming the Senate building after John McCain. They put that already on the Google Maps, and then people said, "That, what are you doing? That hasn't been voted on yet." You know, there's a little bit of talk about that, and so immediately Google renames it. Isn't that interesting? As if we didn't know where Google was on the globalism map. The partner of China, the business partner of China, is Gulag, Google. And they will institute any kind of repression and violation of human rights, not just censoring people, but assisting the Chinese government and censoring people and helping people to disappear on the internet after the Chinese government has disappeared those dissidents. And of course, Google is fully on with the open border agenda, the agenda of McCain and people like Macron. If you go to the what is happening in Europe for just a moment here before we get back to New York, Macron made some amazing statements attacking the leaders of the national movements who are incredibly popular in Europe right now, Salvini, as well as Orban in Hungary. And Macron took them on directly. As Breitbart points out, declaring that the world is at a moment of great transformations. Yes, it is. Macron outlined his vision for a, quote, European sovereignty, unquote, in which Brussels would have autonomy, similar to the dictatorship that we see in China, or having a United States of Europe, just like we have in the United States of America. That has always been the plan. They always said, oh, no, it's just about trade. We just want a free trade zone here in Europe. And okay, yeah, it'll help if we have a common currency. Oh, now that common currency has created a big economic problem. So now we need more political centralization of that as well. The British people saw through that. Unfortunately, what they didn't see through was Theresa May and the fact that she was going to undermine that from inside. She was the fifth column for the Brussels globalists. Macron, on the other hand, is fully out there. He's come out of the closet. And he came out of the closet in a big way yesterday. He said, Europe must become the model for a humanist refoundation of globalization. Wow. Wow. Humanism and globalism he is supporting here. He said, we need to redouble efforts against patriotic conservative parties in the face of a world where nationalism has reawakened. That's why they're trying to take over social media. And as I said yesterday, we look at the First Amendment. The First Amendment has multiple parts in it. You know, we talk about the right to peacefully assemble, the right to redress grievances, a free exercise of religion. We talk about the freedom of the press, but separately, we talk about freedom of speech. Free speech is not simply a free press, because not everybody has a microphone like this. And your speech is as important, I would say more important than mine. Your ability to be able to share and comment on what you see in the news, whether it's my program or whether it is CNN or whether it is Fox News, whatever, to pass along what you agree with or to say why you disagree with something, why you agree with it, and to be able to share that with people. That's what is really dangerous to them, and that's why this censorship of the public forum is so dangerous. As I pointed out yesterday, the hypocrisy of saying, we can't do anything about Google and about Facebook and about Twitter because, you know, they're private businesses. And so we're going to embrace that kind of censorship because it's coming from a giant corporation. And these big, giant corporations are colluding together for their censorship. And that's not a problem either. So we don't have a problem with anti-competitive trusts. We don't have a problem with monopolistic control of the internet. All these people who were just previously talking about a net neutrality. Well, there's no neutrality in their politics, is there? None whatsoever. And then at the same time, they're saying that President Trump, we got a judge demanding that President Trump cannot block people on his Twitter account, on his personal Twitter account that he had before he became president, because there is an official presidential Twitter account. But no, he can't block trolls on Twitter. But the CEO of Twitter can block people off of Twitter completely. He can take you completely off of Twitter, but the president can't even block the people on his account. How insane is this? How hypocritical is this? And that's why they have to take this over, because there is a reawakening about nationalism. And so, as Breitbart points out in this article, they refer to Macron as the former banker. Well, he was a former Rothschild banker, one of the founders of globalism. Singled out Italian Interior Minister Matteo Salvini and Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban in his speech, pronouncing Orban a hypocrite because he took EU money while, listen to this, quote, making speeches, great speeches about Christianity, unquote. Ooh. So, the EU, according to Macron, is oppositional to Christianity. I kind of noticed that. I kind of noticed that when he talked about a humanist future, how we had to have a humanist reformation of globalism. And you are a hypocrite if you make speeches about how great Christianity is and take EU money, because EU is about establishing humanism. If we don't understand where this is all headed, as I said before when I was talking to Tim Alberino about the Gen 6 conference I'm going to be speaking at in a couple of weeks. Again, you can get a discount, 10%, if you use the code ALEX, A-L-E-X, at that conference, September 14th. You can live stream it. But we were talking about, I said, you know, the future is either, if we're not going to shut down this humanism, which is now all the people who were at the beginning, the foundation of humanism, they had the Humanist Manifesto and so forth. These same people, like Julian Huxley and so forth, Arthur C. Clarke, they embraced transhumanism. Julian Huxley coined the term. And we're going to have a post-human future where, in their minds, we have transcended humanity and we've become something else. We've merged with machines, or we've genetically modified ourselves into something that is not completely human, but better, of course, right? Of course it's going to be better. But we're either going to have a post-human future, or we're going to have a future that is post-globalism. We will either bury the globalists or they will bury us. It's just that simple, because the two are not compatible. And Macron said that great speeches about Christianity are anti-European, because his vision of Europe is one of secular humanism, one that wants to destroy humanity. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about what happened in New York with the debate between the Sex and the City actress and the other actor, Andrew Cuomo. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I want to show you something. As we've seen in the last 24 hours, we have President Trump saying, look at the difference in the way Google treated me, for example, treated him, President Trump, versus Obama on various issues. And CNN is coming back and saying, that's not true. That's not true. No, it's just a conspiracy theory. And he's getting this stuff from the crazy right-wing people. I'm going to show you proof of this in just one moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And one way that you can support us as they try to make sure that you don't see this information that I'm about to give you, give you documentary total proof of how Google rigs things against President Trump. That's coming up. We're going to have total proof of what Google has been doing to President Trump. But before we do, real quickly, if you go to InfoWarsStore.com, you're going to find a lot of products there that are going to support your health as well as support what we do here and support free speech. Don't let them shut down your ability to share information. By the way, if you want to go to InfoWars.com/show, you can see the broadcast there. You can listen to all the different broadcasts of the shows that we have there. We had the InfoWars app was number one at the Apple Store. They don't have that listed up there anymore, but you can still go to us directly. Even after they took down the Alex Jones Show podcast, that was just a list. We actually host our own podcast. So you can go. If you've got the app or get the app, you can listen to the show in terms of an audio format, or you can watch the video format, or you can go to InfoWars.com/show. But let me tell you about a couple of the specials that we have. We have BODEES, and again, that's B-O-D-E-E-S, E-A-S-E. Put your body at ease. Why? Because it's got a lot of turmeric in it. And turmeric is a very popular and natural and effective anti-inflammatory. You know, we ever have joint pain and things like that. It's usually due to inflammation. And turmeric is very, very effective at shutting that down. That's the key ingredient in bodies. There's many other ingredients that help that turmeric to be more effective. You can get that 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, turmeric has many, many other health advantages, not just in treating inflammation and putting your body at ease. We also have now Ultimate Bone Broth. We brought that back with a different formulation and a different supplier, better ingredients, and we have it as an introductory price with that different formulation at 50% off. Take a look at those specials, and we have a special just for the listeners of this show. You can get 20% off of Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. Just use the code REALNEWS at checkout to save 20% off of either the original or the immune support blends of Wake Up America Patriot Blend Coffee. And that is non-GMO, 100% Arabica bean, 20% off with the code REALNEWS on Wake Up America Coffee. All right, let's talk about Trump the idiot, because that's what the left wants to put out there. I want to show you, if you go to Google and you type in idiot, you don't put Trump, you just type in the word idiot. You can do this yourself at home, but I'm going to show you documentary proof of that. Look at that. All of that, pictures of President Trump. You just go to the images. Everything there, idiot, idiot, idiot. There's like a cone head picture there, but it's all Trump or Trump's sons or the very first one that you see there. Everything there's Trump. Well, you say, well, that might be because so many people on the left are calling Trump an idiot that Google is just honestly crawling the web and finding all of these pictures that are associated with President Trump because people are calling him an idiot so many different times. Now, let's go to the same search with DuckDuckGo. And you type in the word idiot. And what do you see? Look at that. You see pictures of President Trump as an idiot? There's, I see, maybe one. Let's see. Is there one? Scroll down. I don't even see it on the first page there, the screen. I don't even see President Trump as an idiot. They got Barack Obama as Alfred E. Newman. There's President Trump down at the bottom now. If you scroll down, you can see a President Trump. But the rest of the stuff, they've got Dwight Schrute from The Office. They've got Conehead icons. They've got a lot of different things there, images. That's the difference, folks, between what Google does and what DuckDuckGo does. And as we said yesterday, you've got to get it into your head. And this was from an article, I think New American was the one that had it. Repeat this after me. Google is not a search engine. Twitter and Facebook are not social media. They won't allow you to share information or share your opinion. Twitter and Facebook are actively censoring that. And Google is actively changing the search results to present something to you. That idiot search shows you that if you use Google, you are the idiot. You are the idiot if you use Gulag. Use DuckDuckGo or something else, but don't use Google because they are rigging the searches. All right, let's talk about Sex in the Cuomo or the socialists in the city. The problem with that is that they're both socialists, so the socialist in the city doesn't really work. But we had Cynthia Nixon, and again, this is identity politics, so she begins this debate that they had last night between Cynthia Nixon, the Sex and the City actress. She actually won an Emmy for Sex and the City doing that. I didn't know that. I never watched the series. And fortunately, Cuomo was able to avoid the Freudian slip of calling her Emmy. He called her Cynthia throughout the night. But as they were leading up to the debate, she said that having a cold room was notoriously sexy, and it was going to be a tactic by Andrew Cuomo. Her campaign senior advisor, Rebecca Katz, told WCBS-TV that because work environments are, all work environments, you know, are notoriously sexist when it comes to temperature. Do you know that? They just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. So she says, you know, because it's all, it's notoriously sexist, I just want to make sure that we're going to not have the room too cold because that's sexist, you know. And CBS said, well, we've acknowledged that, but the only way that Cuomo is going to show up is by giving him everything that he wants. You know, it's typically the case. The incumbent doesn't want to go to a debate in the first place. That's why it's so surprising to see Robert O'Rourke, the trans-Hispanic, dodging the debate against Ted Cruz, because it's usually the incumbent that doesn't want to go that. So they said, well, we're going to give him everything that he wants. We had to do that to even get a seat at the table, to even be able to do this. Well, let me give you a news flash. Studios are cold for a reason. You think I wear this suit because I want to look good? Don't look that good. I got a face for television, for a radio, but I don't wear this because I want to look good. I wear it because it's cold in the studios. Why is it cold in the studios? Well, it's cold in the studios because we've got a lot of bright lights in here, and we got a lot of computer equipment. We have to keep the offices here very, very cold because we don't want all of the expensive equipment to melt down with all the hot lights and the heat that is coming off of all the computers. So it's not sexist. It's electronic. That is what is going on here, Cynthia Nixon. But I want to play for you how she describes herself. The first question to her was, tell us what your qualifications are for governor. And here's what the identity candidate Cynthia Nixon had to say at the debate.
And I'm not an Albany insider like Governor Cuomo, but I think that experience doesn't mean that much if you're not actually good at governing. I think that Governor Cuomo is a very astute politician. He's a crackerjacked fundraiser. But when you look at how he's broken the New York City subway, when you look at how he's handed over control of the state Senate to the Republicans, if you look at the incredible corruption in his administration,
She goes on to say, I think we can reform Albany. First, she says, of course, I'm not an insider. But then she goes on to say, I think what we really need to reform Albany is an insider. She meant to say an outsider. But what we didn't play for you that was at the beginning of that clip that we skipped over was the fact that she started out by saying, well, you know, I'm a housewife and a mother, and I care very much about education, and I'm an outsider, and my kids are in school, and I want to spend more money on school. Well, you know, they spend more on kids per capita in New York City than anywhere else in the country. And they, like the Washington, D.C. school districts, have the lowest results anywhere in the country, with illiteracy rates that are above 95%, math comprehension that is above that, uncomprehension, I guess we could say, innumeracy that is nearly 100%. They don't know math, they don't know literature, but they spend well over $20,000 per student. But she wants to spend more, always more of what doesn't work. And those are her qualifications. You know, she's an outsider. She didn't mention that she was an actress because I guess she didn't want to talk about that. And then they went after President Trump. And the big argument between the two of them, because they're both socialists, the big argument was not really over whether they ought to have universal this and free that for everything. But who is the bigger Trump critic, as Reuters points out? Who hates Trump the most? Is it Andrew Cuomo or the Sex and the City actress? Stay with us. We'll have that answer when we come back.
He's not sorry when snowflakes can't handle the truth. It's your host, David Knight.
So there was a debate last night in New York for the Democrat primary for governor between the incumbent Andrew Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon, the actress from Sex and the City. And the argument, after they gave their qualifications, of course, Cynthia Nixon is qualified because she's a woman, quite frankly, and because she wants to spend a lot of money on education. I can spend more money than the other Democrat. I can give you more free stuff. And there won't be any reckoning. I guess nobody thought to ask her in the press. Because, see, this is the whole thing about these Democrat debates and the Republican debates. So they always have the mainstream media. They always ask the same questions. Nobody's going to ask them, what are you going to do about the $500 million of unfunded state employee pension plans that are coming due with the baby boomers retiring? What are you going to do about that as you're handing out free this and free that? And talking about how much you hate President Trump and how that qualifies you because you hate President Trump more than the other candidate hates President Trump. Cuomo comes out, describes President Trump as the largest threat faced by New Yorkers. It isn't $500 million in unfunded pension plan for the employees of the state government. I mean, this is something you would think the press would ask of a governor. You know, governor, you've got the state employees and their pension fund. How are you going to pay this for them? You don't have the money. You're $500 million in the hole. What are you going to do? Oh, no, I hate President Trump. He says, President Trump is a greater danger than climate change. Yeah, he is. Climate change isn't a danger. He's a greater danger than climate change, than extreme weather, or even terrorism. And he criticized President Trump for being anti-immigration and limiting access to abortion. This is what they call a Democrat debate. And so she takes him up on that. And she says, you didn't stand up to him. You stood up to him about as well as you stand up to Putin. He goes, oh, nobody has stood up to President Trump like I have. So that's his qualifications. Nobody's going to ask him about the extreme danger of a bankrupt pension plan or how they're going to get past that. And that is what passes for a debate on the Democrat side. But the thing that really is a problem for them that they don't want to take a look at, let's get video clip number 6. The thing they're struggling with, as Western Journal points out, is the fact that the generic ballot hasn't changed since the day before the 2016 election. Has President Trump harmed the GOP brand? Well, no, actually, things haven't changed. Even though they typically drop dramatically in an off-year election. Usually there is a massive loss. That's what everybody is counting on with this pretended blue wave that is coming. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy in California was on Fox News. He said, when you look at what this election is going to be about, it's about results versus resistance, Pelosi's resistance, her resistance to tax cuts, I would say, her resistance to you having any crumbs left on your table. Said, oh, these are just crumbs. Yeah, she's going to fight you for those crumbs. He said the Democrats' agenda for the midterm election is hurting the party's chances of retaking the majority. He said their agenda is what we've been talking about this whole program, right? The Soros agenda, abolishing the borders, abolishing ICE, impeaching President Trump, setting up a single-payer health care system. That's what they're all saying. That's what the Soros candidate for governor, Andrew Gillum is saying in Florida. That's what both of these candidates in New York are saying. It's what the Soros candidate for Senate here in Texas, Robert O'Rourke, who goes by Beto, they're all saying the same thing. Got to impeach Trump. We got to abolish the borders. Got to abolish ICE. We got to set up universal health care. That's not going to do it for them. He pointed out that during the last 49 years, the employment rate has only been under 4% for 8 months. 3 of those months happened this year. You get that? It's about the economy, stupid. But they're too stupid to understand that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Google is rigging their search results against President Trump. Just go to Google, type in the word idiot, just one word, idiot. And then look at the images that come up. Click the image tab. First, it'll show you different articles. Click the image tab and you'll see that all pictures, virtually every one of the pictures is a picture of Trump. Then go to another search engine. DuckDuckGo is a good example. Type in the word idiot and you don't see Trump. You know, you scroll down that you'll see all kinds of different icons about idiot. But if you really were truthful, here's what you would see when you type in the word idiot. You would see the DNC donkey, the logo for the DNC. Because these idiots think that they're going to run on abolishing our borders, on free health care for everybody. Forget about who is going to provide that. about raising taxes. That's what the Soros surrogate in Florida. That's it. That's what you should get when you type idiot. And you're an idiot if you use Google, like I said. But really, they think that they're going to, like in Florida, the candidate there, the Soros surrogate, Andrew Gillum, says, we're going to raise taxes. That's those Republicans that have put us in a bind here with our budget. That's why we can't give you universal health care, because the taxes are just too low. So he's going to raise taxes by about $1 billion on the people who have moved to Florida, for the most part, to go there for lower taxes. I don't know how he thinks that's going to work. That's pretty stupid. Pretty stupid. But he's running on the same thing that Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke, the trans-Hispanic, is running on here in Texas. All of them, the same thing. This radical fringe of the left, the people who are following the marching orders of Bernie Sanders and taking money from George Soros. They want to abolish the borders. They want to abolish ICE. They want single-payer health care. They want higher taxes. They want to impeach President Trump. So they're going to run against President Trump. They think it's going to work for them. And as I was saying, Kevin McCarthy, who is in California, he knows how these people think. He says, well, Nancy Pelosi wants to fight everybody for the crumbs on their table, fight them for the tax cut. But he said, over the last 49 years, the employment rate has been under 4% only 8 months. For only 8 months in the last 49 years. And three of those months were this year. This year. And he said, the last time the nation experienced annual growth in the GDP of 4% or more was in the late 1990s. Now, let me tell you what was happening in the late 1990s. That was when Bill Clinton was being impeached. And when Bill Clinton got reelected, even though he was impeached. Why? Because as his campaign manager, James Carville, at the time said, it's the economy, stupid. These people think that they're going to offer you Venezuelan socialism and attack Trump, calling him an idiot, calling him evil, calling him racist, and all this other thing. They think that they're going to demonize President Trump and offer you Soros socialism and globalism, and you're going to buy into that with a good economy. I don't think so. The only way they're going to win this election is if they take over the electronic voting machines, and that is a very real possibility. And there you are. There's a Venezuelan currency, which looks like a roll of toilet paper. Oh, no, that's right. The Venezuelan currency is the big stack of dirty paper on the left. It's already been soiled as it runs through the system. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, he said the generic ballot was at exactly the same place that it was the day before the election in 2016. And he pointed out the GOP lost only 5 seats in that election. And this has the host at MSNBC, Katie Tour, panicked. I want you to take a look. I want you to listen to this. And if you're watching the video feed, take a look at the expression of Katie Tour when she realizes the same thing that Kevin McCarthy just said. It's like, wait a minute. President Trump and the Republican Party are doing really well in the polls. How can this be? Here's Katie Tour.
Approval ratings stayed the same. So I wonder, if that's not going to move the needle, is this John McCain thing going to move the needle? And forgive me for being skeptical, because I was under the impression, as was most people, that when Donald Trump came out and said he was not a war hero, he likes to don't get caught, back in 2015, that people would care. And when I went out and I talked to Republican voters, they didn't care at all.
The Republicans.
Yeah, the voters didn't care enough to vote for McCain when he ran for president. They care even less about him after he's betrayed us on Obamacare. Remember, he ran this time, said, I'm going to get help you to get rid of Obamacare, and then he does the thumbs down thing, right? Backstabber, as Ben Garrison pointed out yesterday, a backstabber. Yeah, John McCain is not very popular with the Republican base. I really don't think so. Wasn't popular enough to win the election, and he's not popular now after he betrayed us on so many different issues. The guy's always been open border. He's always been a Soros globalist. Maybe Google can do something about it. As I pointed out, the Google map has already renamed the Senate building for McCain. They can't wait. They can't wait. They did it themselves. Just think about this. You got somebody at Google that says, oh, look, somebody said, hey, we ought to, it was Chuck Schumer, that Republican. Oh, no, that's right. He's a Democrat, right? All these Democrats who just love John McCain. Now, why is it they love John McCain? Well, because he's pushing globalism and he's pushing back against President Trump, even posthumously. If that really was written by John McCain, it might have been ghostwritten by his campaign manager. Who knows if he actually wrote that letter? But it sounded nasty enough to be coming from John McCain. And NATO, I'd said earlier it was the EU. No, it was actually NATO, wants to name their Brussels headquarters after John McCain. He embodied their values, they say. You know, the values of overthrowing one country after another, permanent war, permanent occupation. These are Nazi values. And I don't use that term lightly. I don't just throw the term Nazi around. I mean, when you invade other countries, when you overthrow other countries, when you have absolutely no regard for human life, those are Nazi values. Those are the actions of Nazis. A justified war. If we go back to Christian values, and of course, Macron said, how dare Viktor Orban in Hungary, how dare him praise Christianity? That is anti-European. And he is a hypocrite for taking EU money while he is praising Christianity. Well, Christianity said, and still does, that the only justified, morally justified war is a defensive war. You only fight a war if somebody invades you. You don't invade other countries. But of course, that is NATO policy. That was John McCain's policy. So I wouldn't be surprised if they named this building after him. But Google isn't waiting. Google has unilaterally named the building, the Senate building, after John McCain. Schumer said, let's put this up to vote. There's a lot of people who don't think that's a good idea. That hasn't happened yet. But it has as far as Google is concerned. But they're not biased. Google is honorable. Google will tell you the truth. Google is a search engine. No, Google is not a search engine. It is not a search engine. It is a manipulation tool by the globalists. So there you have Katie Tour. She said, last week, there was a tidal wave of bad news for this presidency and the president, and yet his approval rating stayed the same. How can this be? So I wonder, can we get him with this John McCain thing? No, I don't think that's going to work either. Because we're on to John McCain, we're on to CNN, we're on to this agenda coming from George Soros. And I think a lot of people are on to Cynthia Nixon, for example, too. Here's another socialist who wants to raise taxes and spend more money in a bankrupt state. And she wants to, she's pushing free stuff for everything, of course, raising taxes. But take a look at the deductions. That's what Breitbart did. Take a look at the deductions that she took personally. Self-proclaimed socialist Cynthia Nixon. She calls herself a socialist. And she sought to pay the smallest amount in taxes possible. She reduced her gross income by claiming more than $318,000 in 2016 of tax deductions. More than a six-figure tax deduction. She got $12,000 worth of personal development for singing and acting lessons. Maybe she can get her money back. $15,000 for hair and makeup. You definitely need your money back for that. I mean, she paid $27,000 for singing, acting lessons, hair and makeup. I don't know. I think the IRS ought to look into that. That looks pretty phony as far as I'm concerned. But this is a socialist. She wants $318,000 in tax deductions. Welcome back. You know, one of the things that I talked about a great deal yesterday was the fact that Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept, people at Politico, people at The Washington Post and other places, even New York Times, that had picked up on this CNN story, were distancing themselves from CNN after it was learned that the anonymous source that said, yeah, there was a Russian connection and all the Trumps knew about it at the Trump Tower and so forth and so on. And we know this from Michael Cohen. And we talked to Lanny Davis, Michael Cohen's lawyer, and he had no comment. Well, Lanny Davis was the anonymous source. And so CNN was trying to, they put that out there as a lie. Said Lanny Davis had no comment. Lanny Davis was their source. They were trying to disguise who their source was for whatever reason. And then Lanny Davis came out and with an interview with Anderson Cooper last week said, well, no, actually, I think there was a lot of confusion about that. Some people got confused about that. That didn't really happen. There was no collusion. There was no foreknowledge of this by President Trump and Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., and so forth. None of that really happened. And Anderson Cooper is like, seriously? You know? And then he came out on Monday and said, yeah, and I was the anonymous source as well. When last week he was denying that he was the anonymous source. So he's walked back the story that was put out there from an anonymous source. He said none of that was true. And then even after he maintained that he was not the anonymous source, he came out on Monday as the anonymous source. And so Politico and other organizations had distanced themselves from that. But now as they think more about it, Politico wants to support CNN. Because, you know, Google supports CNN and puts them up there as featured news stories, as we showed you. But, of course, that's fake news, isn't it? That's a conspiracy theory. There's nothing going on. Just like if you type the word idiot on their search engine, all the pictures that come up, if you go to images, all the pictures come up are President Trump. But if you go to DuckDuckGo and type idiot, you don't see President Trump until you scroll down a page. See all these other pictures that are related to idiots or people who have played idiots or whatever. Google, it's all President Trump. So they rigged the results. They rigged the results in terms of putting CNN up front and all these organizations that criticize President Trump. They do the same thing. And then you have CNN return the favor by saying, Google's not rigging the search results, so they cover for each other. And then you have Politico looks at this and says, well, you know, maybe we're too rough on CNN. So the headline here, Lanny Davis burns reporters. Should they still give him a megaphone? So now it's Lanny Davis's fault. And it is Lanny Davis's fault because he had lied, at the very least, lied about being an anonymous source. He did walk that back. But it said Lanny Davis, in his role as lawyer and spokesperson for Michael Cohen, has copped to misleading journalists, admitted that he made false statements on national television, and generally cause headaches for reporters who've used him as a source. And yet everybody but CNN has walked back from that report. Why does CNN double down on this? Well, it's obvious because they hate President Trump and they've taken the position that they're going to burn down their network if necessary in order to get back at President Trump. You look, same thing is happening with Twitter, Facebook. You get a third of the conservatives have abandoned these social media. They're not social media. Google is not a search engine. Facebook and Twitter are not social media. They are public forums where we should be speaking out. And it's important that we not abandon them. It's important that we fight to make sure that we have, let's just call it social media neutrality. How about that? Instead of net neutrality, let's talk about social media neutrality. And I think the most important thing that we could do is not to have government mandates. I'm glad that President Trump has noticed this. I'm glad that he's talking a lot about it. It is a very important issue. This is an attempt to manipulate the election, obviously, at the very least, and to take away your free speech and to take away the freedom of the press. But I don't think that what the government needs to do is come in with a bunch of rules and mandates. They can have some rules about violent videos that they want to take down, but those rules need to be very explicit and very narrow. And the main rule needs to be that if you got a public forum and a de facto monopoly, which I would say not even is a de facto monopoly, they were supported just like John McCain supported the ISIS terrorists. Google and Twitter and Facebook were armed and trained by DARPA and the deep state, just like we trained the ISIS terrorists. And so we need to acknowledge the role of DARPA and of NQTEL and the intelligence community, and helping these different rulers of the internet to get involved in the first place. And we also need to acknowledge the role of government in demanding that they censor people. You got the European Union giving them a time frame in which they have to take people's content down. You got Democrat senators demanding that InfoWars be taken down and so forth. You got to stop those demands. You got to stop the government from using private organizations as a front for government censorship. This is really government censorship. Understand that when the Atlantic Council is doing this, they're doing this for NATO, they're doing it for the deep state, the Democrats are doing this. And then to come back and say this is just a private organization, let's get beyond that. Let's understand where this is really coming from, and let's just have real social media neutrality and stop this. I don't think that the answer is for us to all run away and hide from these big public forums. I think we need to fight in those public forums instead of being driven away. But CNN is still hanging on to this. CNN is saying, we don't lie. Statement from CNN came back after President Trump mocked them. President Trump said, I can't state strongly enough how totally dishonest much of the media is. Truth doesn't matter much to them. They only have their hatred and an agenda. And this includes fake books which come out about me all the time. Always anonymous sources. Always pure fiction. Enemy of the people. You know, we look at the fact that supposedly these are private businesses and they're just in business to make money, right? Then why is Twitter putting in a function to recommend people that you should unfollow? Unfollow. Twitter has always been about increasing engagement. That's what they would want to do if they wanted to make money, isn't it? Instead of controlling the narrative, isn't it? Maybe the way these people continue to operate is because they're getting money from some government sources to operate as a propaganda manipulation machine. Because why would you put out information and say, we're going to unfollow? These are people you might want to unfollow. I had to turn off notifications because I kept getting bugged by Twitter. Oh, this person is following you, or this person tweeted out about this, and you'd be interested in looking at this. Now they're telling you, don't look at this. Don't follow this person. That's exactly the opposite of what they would want to do if they wanted to operate this as a business. If YouTube wanted to operate as a business, they would embrace InfoWars, one of the biggest platforms on YouTube, and they would sell ads. But instead, they shut us down because they don't want that business. It's not about that. And then I want to play for you. John Sununu goes on with Allison Camerato. And she wants to talk about John McCain, but then she uses that to spin to attacking President Trump. Let's roll that tape while we got time.
So, Governor, what do you think about President Trump rejecting the practice of putting out an official White House statement about John McCain's service and sacrifice?
Look, that was printed in the Washington Post, and I have to be honest with you, I don't give much credence to what I read.
We also have that reporting.
Yeah, well, same thing applies, Alice.
Governor, you come on CNN, and we appreciate you coming on CNN, and we appreciate your take on it. But I don't appreciate you denigrating our reporting. I think that you know we have excellent
You've
reporters
been caught
here.
In a lie,
but are
Allison.
You saying that you don't want to believe that? You don't want to believe
that. Yeah, that is gold. All right, stay with us. Be right back with Eric Peters.
Covering the ongoing fight for the heart and soul of America. Broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Eric Peters in this segment and the next. And, of course, Eric is a writer who writes about cars, about mobility, because that's the new term, mobility, and about liberty. And so we're going to focus on those things today with him. He had a great article at his site, epautos.com, EP for Eric Peters, epautos.com. He talks a lot about the larger issues and how they play into our freedoms, but he also does car reviews. So if you're in the market for a car, he does excellent, honest reviews. He is supported by subscriber donations, or not subscriber, you don't have to subscribe to it, but voluntary donations on his site. So he's not going to cook the books for a particular automobile manufacturer. But what I wanted to talk to him about was the bigger picture today. And the article that he has up that I wanted to get him on to talk about is proletarianizing the populace via mobility as a service. And there's a lot to unpack here, but he's going to break this down into three different areas, three different things that are basically happening. And you know, we talk about the proletariat. That, of course, is a communist, a socialist term. We've been talking this whole program about how radical left the Democrat Party has become, how we have these socialist surrogates for George Soros and his globalist agenda, how they're being financed by him, how they're using identity politics to cover up their policies that really aren't going to hold up to scrutiny. But we often forget that the wealthy, the billionaires, and the other Democrat donors that are really up there, when they go to places like Bilderberg, they talk about the precariat, the precarious proletariat. In other words, the masses that are out there, that's you and I, and how we are in a system, a situation that makes things kind of precarious for them. And so when you're thinking about this, it's not just about our liberty, but it's about the way that they can control us, those of us that they see as the proletariat, because they are the Marxists. So joining us now is Eric Peters of EP Autos. Thank you for joining us, Eric.
Well, hi, David. Thanks for having me back on.
Let's talk a little bit about this. You start off by talking about Toyota.
Yep.
And how they just invested $500 million in Uber because they're getting focused on autonomy, and we've seen the same thing with Ford Motor Company.
Yeah, I don't mean to single out Toyota. Toyota is really the latest of the major manufacturers to invest a very large amount of money in mobility, in ride-sharing, and actually the full term is mobility as a service, meaning that they're trying to get away from the individual car ownership model. And they are doing this for economic reasons, for a variety of reasons. Cars are becoming increasingly impossible for more and more people to afford to buy them. So their solution is effectively to rent them to people. And, you know, rather than own your car and be free to just get in your car and go for a drive whenever you like to go for a drive and wherever you'd like to go for a drive, you will just sit there and wait until your bus for one shows up, and then it will take you to your destination according to however it's programmed. That's what they're working on.
And, of course, like you said, it's not just Toyota. Ford has done the same thing. As a matter of fact, they just changed the CEO. The stockholders demanded that they change out CEOs because the CEO was too focused on creating cars that were doing very well.
That's right.
Selling pickup trucks and selling cars and so forth. And they said, no, you need to be focused on mobility. That's the magic word. And so they got rid of the CEO who was focused on building and selling cars. And they put in this mobility guy. And one of the things that they did right away was to say, we're going to stop selling cars altogether. And they got rid of everything except for the Mustang. And they're going to bring in some European, putt-putt car something.
Well, you know, the verbiage, the language is very interesting. They talk about mobility, but in fact, it's reducing our ability to get around. It's making it less convenient, less under our control. It's very much of a piece with their use of the term autonomous cars rather than what they really are, which is automated cars.
That's right, because you're going to have to wait for these Ubers, or even if it's not Uber, if it's being run by Ford or by Toyota or by GM, you're still going to have to wait for that thing to come around. It isn't like you're going to be able to hop into your car. So these people, just like the CEO of Lyft, they absolutely hate cars. The CEO of Lyft was an urban planner, and he says cities are just, his perspective is cities are wonderful, cars are evil. And this has been the perspective of these people for a very long time. That's why they continue to put and pack more and more people into an area like Austin, but they won't expand the roads.
Well, that's why
won't expand the parking.
That's why I chose to use that term, proletarianization of mobility, of transportation. The thing that characterized the Soviet Union was masses of faceless people standing in line for everything, waiting to be given whatever their masters decided that they were going to give them. And what differentiated that from America was that in America, you were free to come and go as you wished on your own schedule, according to your own lights, without being monitored and controlled. And really, tragically, America is sort of morphing into a kind of latter-day Soviet Union. And in a lot of really important and meaningful ways, the average person has actually got more freedom in current Russia than we have here in the United States.
Yeah, it's funny you would mention that, because I went to a town council meeting in Raleigh. Back in the late 80s, it was before the Soviet Union had fallen, and there was a city councilwoman who had gone to Russia. I guess she wanted to see how she could make Raleigh more communist. She came back, and she was gushing about the fact that she could go anywhere in Moscow for a nickel. And I said, you don't realize the true cost of that. It has cost those people everything, including their freedom to do that. But she wanted to create a tram system in Raleigh. This is the way these people think. They always are looking at how they can get control over your life.
Well, and that's just it. It's always coercive. It's not that they come out with an idea that they propose and submit, and, hey, this is, what do you think of this? This may be a good idea. Do you want to do this? You're never free to say no. It's always crammed down our throats. And that's the fundamental thing that I object to. Behind all the soupy happy talk, there is always coercion.
Let's talk about the reasons that you laid out in your article here. There's three reasons that you highlighted as to why we are going to lose our freedom and our anonymity when we travel, and how we're going to have this mobility service crammed down our throats. Mm-hmm. Talk about the first one.
Well, the first one, for decades now, the government has continued to pile on various mandates having to do with things like vehicle safety, mileage, and emissions. And these things continue to get more and more expensive for what the economists refer to as diminishing returns. Cars have been largely pollution-free now in any meaningful sense since the 90s, but they keep insisting on these fractional increases or reductions in tailpipe exhaust emissions that are imposing tremendous cost on the vehicles. So the cars are getting more expensive, and it's becoming harder and harder for people to afford to buy them, and that's why the average car loan now is 6, 7, 8 years long. Problem is that you can't keep pushing that out because a car is fundamentally a depreciating appliance. After it's about 5 or 6 years old, generally it's worth about half what you paid for it. Most people aren't going to want to continue to pay for another 5 years on something that's not worth what they still owe on it. That's a real problem. It's not just a problem for us as individuals. It's a problem for lenders. Lenders can't operate that way. That's not a sustainable model. So that's problem number one.
Yeah, you're underwater. You're not going to be necessarily interested if they repossess your car that is worth far less than you owe the bank.
That's right. And the second problem is related. It has to do with the disposability of cars, the high cost of keeping them and repairing them. Most cars now have, on average, at least 6 airbags, and many of them have 8 or 9 or even more airbags, just to cite one thing. You get into a minor fender bender that in the past would have been relatively easy and inexpensive to fix. It now might total the car because replacing the airbags, and that's just one thing, can cost thousands and thousands of dollars, and most insurers will total a car once the repair cost reaches about 50% of its current retail value. So we're throwing away a lot of basically perfectly good cars because they're economically unrepairable. That's number two, and it's driving up the cost to insure cars.
And you know, when you talk about that, Eric, when we look at electric cars, for example, they're pushing towards electric cars, but the batteries don't last forever
right.
on electric cars. And those things are going to even if you don't have an accident, which causes your Tesla to spontaneously combust because all the batteries are under the occupants where they are there. And, you know, anyway, even if you don't have a situation like that, they're just going to die and they're going to have to be replaced. And that means that these things have a very, very limited life. That's one of the reasons why they're looking at renting these things out as a mobility service, because they make far less sense to own them over a period of time. And that's why they pushed the diesel car that were far more efficient and longer lasting out of business. We'll be right back with Eric Peters, epautos.com. Stay with us.
The greetings of people in trouble.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Eric Peters, the VP Autos. We're talking about your freedom and your privacy. You've had a lot of that in terms of your transportation. That's about to end. As I've said all along, the TSA is not about airports. The TSA is about transportation. You can see that they're setting up their scanners in the subways in L.A. We've always talked about this. We've talked about how they had their Viper teams shaking down people as experiments at bus stations and so forth. But it's about your freedom to go where you want, when you want, do it privately without being harassed by people. And that is all going the way of the dodo bird, because we now have these giant corporations that have taken over control of cyberspace, working with the government to shut down your ability to move around freely. And they're going to rent you these vehicles, they're going to tax you by the mile, and they're going to track you everywhere you go. And that includes even if you're going to be walking around. We're going to talk about what Alphabet's plans are for that. But Eric has a great article at epautos.com, proletarianizing the populace via this thing called mobility as a service. And as he points out, Toyota, all these major manufacturers are investing heavily into ride-sharing companies, which, of course, get a pass in terms of regulations and taxes that aren't put on them, that are put on taxi companies and so forth, because they want to ram this thing through. And they will subsidize it in every single way. One of the important things that Eric was talking about were all the mandates. Part of the mandates are these massive fuel economy mandates, aren't they, Eric, that are going to be on us if President Trump and the EPA can't get that stopped. That was one of the things that Scott Pruitt was working on before the mob in Washington, D.C. drove him off. Hopefully that can be headed off, because if not, that's going to be the end of the car right there with those Obama fuel economy mandates, isn't it?
Fundamentally transformative, particularly because they're no longer just fuel economy mandates. They have now been mixed in with greenhouse gas emissions requirements. And the only way that you can reduce the carbon footprint, the amount of CO2 that a vehicle emits, is by greatly reducing the engine or getting rid of it altogether. So in effect, the latest mandate that's coming, the one that will require all cars to average at least 50 miles per gallon, it's effectively an electric car production mandate, because that's the only way you're going to make that.
Yeah, because, you know, the like you point out, the electric cars don't have any emissions coming out of the tailpipe. They don't have a tailpipe.
Right.
We have a windpipe, and we are breathing out carbon dioxide all the time, and they're freaking out about that. So maybe what they need to do is not only get rid of the cars, but they need to get rid of us as well. And, of course, they're working on that.
Well, that's right. And to get back to what we were talking about before the break, if the electric cars are mandated, electric cars are extremely expensive. The very least expensive one that's currently on the market, and mind you, this is heavily subsidized, is the Nissan Leaf, and that's about $30,000. Literally, it's $10 under $30,000. And after that, you get up to $35,000 and $40,000. So the question arises, how are millions of Americans going to afford $40,000 and higher electric cars? Well, they aren't. They're not going to be able to afford it. So again, we get back to this idea of getting rid of vehicle ownership and charging people to rent or ride them, or, you know, be taken for a ride, you know, piecemeal. If you need to go somewhere, well, you tap the button on your phone and you wait around, and eventually your car shows up, and eventually it takes you where you're desiring to go.
And we are being taken for a ride, because there's two things about the electric car that I don't like. Number one, the cost is not the genuine cost, because it's heavily dependent, as you pointed out in other articles, how desperate is Elon Musk. You talk about how he is suing people to buy his cars, because he is suing in Canada to make sure that they keep subsidizing those cars. So that's one misdirection. The other thing is to say that these things are clean cars, because they're not. I mean, you know, electricity has to come from somewhere. And so they don't have an internal combustion engine. They've got an external combustion engine. The power is generated at a factory, and they don't have the renewable energy factories, and they aren't going to have them for quite a while, but are going to work on the grid, because they don't have the kind of energy stored. They don't have the giant batteries for those, and so they have to generate the power with fossil fuels, and then they have to transfer it over power lines that are lossy and so forth before it gets to you. So they have an external combustion engine, so they're still generating this stuff. And if you look at India or China, those cars over there, all you have to do is get a 30 mile per gallon vehicle and you're cleaner than an electric car that's running off of their dirty power plants.
Well, absolutely. And there's an additional factor that doesn't apply at all to conventional internal combustion cars, and that is that an electric car has somewhere around 400 pounds of extremely toxic materials in the battery. And those materials have to be taken out of the earth. They have to be manufactured and processed and made into the battery. And that's a whole. And then, of course, you have to think about the disposal issue when the battery reaches the end of its service life. You're talking about the average car, the regular internal combustion car, has a 12-volt starter battery that weighs about 50 pounds. 50 pounds of toxic materials versus 400-something pounds of toxic materials.
That's amazing. Yeah, so that's the environmental fraud that's going on there, the misdirection saying, oh, look, they don't have any emissions, and yet they do at the power plant. And, of course, they want to get rid of the emissions that are the same types of emissions that we're doing. But let's talk a little bit about the other big dodge, and that is the actual price itself and how they have to be subsidized and how that leads to all this crony capitalism and corruption that we see with Elon Musk, for example.
Yeah, Tesla, his company, has lost, I think the current figure is $5.4 billion to date. And nobody, not Tesla, not anybody else who's in the business of making electric cars, has made a cent on them. They're all fundamentally giveaways. And if you were to take away all of the multi-tiered subsidies, there aren't merely subsidies at the individual level for the buyer in the form of a tax subsidy. There are all sorts of manufacturing subsidies. There are all sorts of shuck and jives like carbon credits. If you were to take that away, the typical electric car like the Nissan Leaf that currently lists for about $30,000, If it had to be put on the market at a market price, it would probably be around $45,000 for that model. And we're talking about a car that's essentially a Nissan Versa, which is a $12,000 car.
Wow, wow. As you pointed out in this article, how desperate is Elon Musk? You point out that in Denmark, where they used to have subsidies and then they stopped doing it, their sales for Tesla vehicles dropped by 94%.
Yes.
When they had the subsidy, they were selling 2,738 Teslas in 2015. After that, they went from 2,700 down to 176, 94% decrease.
Well, you know, people can virtue signal till the cows come home. At the end of the day, unless you are George Soros and have unlimited funds, most people have a budget that they have to live within. And even if they want to preen green, at the end of the day, if they can't afford it, they're not going to buy it, whether it's green or not.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so when we get to that and we look at how desperate they are to make this work and how they will subsidize it over the objections of many of us who don't want to subsidize somebody buying a car that costs over $100,000. You point out in the article, Elon Musk says, well, I can't do business without him. He said clean energy vehicles aren't attractive enough to compete without some sort of taxpayer-backed subsidy. As you point out, I'm a taxpayer. I don't back those subsidies.
That's right.
I don't like having money given away. That's backroom deals being done.
Well, doesn't it beg the question? I ask this repeatedly in my articles. If these things are such a great idea, electric cars, why can't they compete on the merits of the market?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, they aren't, and they can't compete. But the governments are heavily subsidizing these things and pushing them on us because it is a form of merger between corporations and governments to control us. It is a form of fascism. That's why we're talking about this as a liberty issue.
That's right.
One other example, I want to get your comments on this, and of course that is the glorified golf cart called the Waymo machine. It'll be way back is what they ought to call it, because it like takes us way back before we had any transportation. We got Google out there is taking over cyberspace. Kicking us off of YouTube, trying to kick us off of their search engines and so forth. And now they've got this Sidewalk Labs, another crony capitalist venture that Alphabet is doing with Toronto up there. And, of course, I think they call it Sidewalk Labs, Eric, because you're going to be doing a lot of walking. But they're still going to be tracking everything that you do. They want to take over our physical urban space just like they want to take over cyberspace.
Sure. It's necessary to keep track of and control people's movements if you want to control them fundamentally. And in a prison, your movements are strictly controlled. They know where you are at any given moment, and everywhere you go, you are constantly under scrutiny. And that's really the model that is being imposed on the entire country.
That's right. And so you got Waymo, which these little cars don't have any brakes in them. They don't have a steering wheel. They don't operate in the mode where you can ever take over control of them. They don't even give you any controls to drive them. So they're going to be on 100% control of that. And we look at what Alphabet and Google are doing in China. They're now moving in with their Waymo mobiles. I guess we can call them mobiles. They're not too mobile. But they're moving in with that. And the people who have been living with these things out in Arizona absolutely hate them. Even CNBC had an article talking about the people and how they hate these things, how they can't get across a four-way stop.
Well, reality bites. And what I mean by that is, the public has been gulled with this idea that they're going to be herded or whisked along in these extremely efficient, fast-moving automated vehicles that are going to get them from A to B faster and with less stress than they currently have to put up within their own driver-controlled vehicles. And it's absurd. Nothing could be farther from the truth, if only for liability reasons, leaving aside all of the other reasons. They have to program these cars to be as conservative as a myopic Mr. Magoo, as an old lady who's desperately terrified of trying to negotiate a four-way stop. Because if something goes wrong and somebody gets killed and an accident happens, they're going to get sued.
That's right. These things really are a Mr. Magoo mobile. That's what it's going to be like. They're going to move so slowly you can set your coffee, open container of coffee, and it won't spill. By the way, you can get 20% off Wake Up America Coffee. Just enter the code REALNEWS at Infowars.com. Thank you for joining us, Eric Peters, epautos.com.